It is a great honor to be with you today and to be with this congregation and Cornerstone Church in ministry. And I consider it a wonderful privilege and a joy. Our scripture passage today is one of my all-time favorites. It is from John 15. It is the passage of Jesus as the vine and you and I as the branches. The grapevine is a powerful image for Israel in the Old Testament. And as we look at this morning's passage, I'd like to invite you to turn with me to the 15th chapter of the book of John. I know we already read this verse, this passage today, but I'd like to read it again in English, mostly for me. And as we read this passage together, I'd like to for you to imagine coming with me to Jerusalem in the first century, where Jesus would have been walking with his disciples after the Last Supper toward the Garden of Gethsemane, where his earthly life would soon come to an end. Their walk that afternoon would have taken them near vineyards ripe in harvest. And I imagine Jesus stopping and maybe picking a cluster of grapes and sharing them with his disciples as he told them this parable of the vine and the branches. John chapter 15, verses 1 through 11. Hear the word of God. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be given you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. This passage reminds me of one of my favorite hobbies that I enjoy doing every springtime with my dad. I think that it's a hobby that many of you have to greater excellence than me. We plant a vegetable garden in our backyard, and I'm not very good at it. Each year is like an experiment. I try to keep the gophers away from the tomato plants. I try to keep the bugs off of the strawberries. I have to make sure that I give the plants enough water, but not too much. I have lots of fun. And I don't know a lot, but I learn something new each year. But one thing that I do know for certain, and that is that if I have a large tomato plant with a strong vine, healthy branches, and juicy tomatoes growing off of those branches, I know that if I take a branch and break it off of the vine and bring it into the kitchen, that the branch won't be too much use for me anymore. You don't have to be an expert to realize that, right? I cannot take the branch and tape it to the refrigerator and expect tomatoes to grow. kind of a simple concept, right? The branch gets its source of life from the vine. So in order to produce fruit, it has to stay attached to the vine. That's the branch's only job description. And then the healthy vine does all the work. It supplies all the nutrients. This is exactly the point that Jesus is trying to make in this passage. Our only job as Christians is to stay attached to Jesus. That's it. Jesus is the vine, you and I are the branches, and if we stay attached to Jesus, we will live good, fruitful, beneficial lives. But it's an easy concept to forget. And so we are tempted to attach ourselves to our careers. We are tempted to attach ourselves to our reputation, what other people think about us. We are tempted to attach ourselves to our possessions. We attach ourselves to our families. Jesus says, stay attached to me. And when you stay attached to Jesus, it is only then that you will see clearly. Philip Yancey, a Christian writer, he put it this way. He said, I am the proud owner of the Oxford English Dictionary, which contains every word in our language. But instead of the 20-volume version that retails for $3,000, I got a special one-volume edition for only $39.95 by joining a certain book club. It contains the full text of the dictionary, but with the drawback of typesetting so small you can't read it. So next, I purchased a splendid magnifying glass the size of a dinner plate, mounted on a swivel with a fluorescent light built in it. And when I train the magnifying glass on a word, the tiny marks show up crisp and clear in the center, or the focal point, while the edges grow progressively distorted. In an exact parallel for me, Jesus has become the focal point of faith. And increasingly, I am learning to keep the magnifying glass of my faith focused on Him. In my spiritual journey, I've long lingered in the margins, puzzling over matters like the problem of pain, the conundrum of prayer, providence versus free will. When I do so, everything becomes fuzzy. Looking at Jesus, however, restores clarity. I love that line. Clarity comes from looking at Jesus. The Greek word that is used over and over in this passage is the word meno. It translates remain in the NIV and abide in the NRSV. I loved the hymn that we sang, Abide in Me. It came straight from this passage. It means the word abide or remain, it means to dwell, to live in, to stay with. Jesus says, I am the vine. You are the branches. Dwell in me. Live in me. Be joined to me. Eugene Peterson translates it, make your home in me. But what does it really mean to abide? How does it work? I'd like to offer just a couple of thoughts. Many of you have met our daughter, Hannah. She's the oldest of the two. She's 3 years old. I'll never forget when she was about 10 months old, there were these moments when nothing could get her to stop crying. We've all experienced this, right? There was no reason why she was crying, no dirty diaper. She wasn't tired. She wasn't hungry. She would just cry for no reason. That's what babies do, right? But if I picked her up and I wrapped her in my arms with my loving embrace, then she would stop crying sometimes. And what would happen in those moments when she would stop crying, it was like my peace and my comfort and my security and confidence would, and my energy, it would be transferred to her. and she would then relax. Unless, of course, Mom was around, then she would scream until Mom would hold her. But the same would be true when I put her to bed. She'd scream for an hour, completely worked up, terrified, and angry. But if I turn the light out so there's nothing to distract her, and when she's finished with her bottle, if I picked her up and hold her in my arms for just a minute, within seconds, she would rest her head on my shoulders and would fall asleep, full of peace and without worry. Now, though Hannah could not articulate it, she understood the meaning of the word to abide, the word meno, to remain in her father. She understood her need to be embraced by the ones who love her most in life. And she understood that what we have will be transferred to her if she abides. Now, I think it's the same with Jesus. When we abide in him, we allow ourselves to be wrapped in his loving embrace. And when we do, his peace, his strength, and confidence is transferred to us. It's given to us. To abide in Jesus is to be embraced by the love of Jesus. Verse 9 says, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love." Staying attached to Jesus means to be embraced by Jesus. It also means to imitate Jesus. If I am attached to Jesus, that means that I am with him in order to learn from him how to be like him. When I was a little kid, I was part of a Korean martial art called Hwarangdo. And I remember the first day I walked into the studio as a little boy, and I wanted to find out who was the master. That's what I wanted to know. Who was the master? Who would be my teacher, my master in Hwarangdo? I looked around the room, and it only took me about 5 seconds to figure it out. He was the one with the long ponytail haircut. He was going from person to person throughout the room, showing everybody else what to do. He was modeling for all the disciples or the students, he was modeling for them how to do Hwarangdo. Everyone tried their best to imitate the master. I remember looking at Master Eric Lee and thinking, I want to be like him. I want to learn from Master Lee how to be like him in regards to Hwarangdo. And so I joined Hwarangdo. I was about 6 years old. And to become like Master Lee, I knew that it would take great discipline and practice. I would go there a few times a week, and he would work us hard, both physically and emotionally and mentally. And then I'd go home, and I'd practice everything that he taught me. I'd write out all my forms, and I'd memorize the moves and practice them in front of the mirror over and over again. And over time, I got better at Hwarangdo for those 5 years. I was never really good at it. I didn't really give it my all. I was just a little white kid, you know? And so I did get stronger and faster. I got to brown belt, and then I chose to play soccer instead. But Hwarangdo taught me a lot. Master Lee was the master of Hwarangdo, and he would gather his disciples and his students to be with him, to learn from him how to be like him. For you and for me, as Christians, our master is Jesus. And Jesus gathers his disciples, you and me, to be with him, to learn from him, how to be like him. And like with Hwarangdo, it takes practice. It takes practice. Jesus says, attach yourself to me. Make it your aim to be like me. Imitate me. Live the way I would live if I were you. Treat others the way I would treat them. Practice being kind to your enemies. Practice hospitality. Spend time in prayer talking to Jesus. Fix your eyes on Jesus and not on the things of this world. But there is a purpose to staying attached to Jesus. It goes beyond ourselves. We do not stay attached to Jesus for our own gain, so that we will go and bear fruit. Staying attached to Jesus means to go with Jesus into the world, to serve Him, to be His witnesses. Leslie Newbegin, the late British scholar and missionary, he put it this way. The gracious indwelling of God with His people is not an invitation to settle down and forget the rest of the world. It is a summons to mission. But He does not send them alone. He leads the way and brings them with Him. They dwell with Him only as they go with Him. For those of you who have been reading my weekly emails that I send to the Cornerstone congregation, I've been writing about the purpose, about the importance of being a church in mission. John 20:23, Jesus says, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you." As Christians, part of our DNA is that we are not here for ourselves. We are here to give ourselves away. Our churches are here to serve the world. I'm constantly reminding us as a church that Cornerstone is not our church, but it's God's church. We do not own our church. We are not here to serve our own interests. We are here to discern what God wants us to do and where God wants us to go to serve Him in order that we might expand God's kingdom. We are sent into the world, into our neighborhoods, our offices, the grocery store, for a purpose. And that purpose is to expand God's kingdom here on earth. If we are attached to Jesus, then we are missionaries wherever we are and wherever we go. I am really grateful for the opportunity to serve Christ here in this wonderful church family and to get to know some of you on Sundays. I really love the lunches that you serve. This is a beautiful example of the hospitality of Jesus Christ. I think Anglo churches need to do this more. I never got free lunch at my home church. There is a real sense of community here. And I am very grateful to be part of it and to see what God is going to do with Cornerstone and with FPCOC. I'm also very grateful that we are joining together to do this ministry with Winnersburg for the homeless community. It's a small thing, but it's tangible and it's helpful. It's a good example of what it means to be a church in mission. We should respond to the needs of our community. Mother Teresa said, "Don't worry about doing great things. Concern yourself by doing small things with great love." To go with Jesus into the world means to join in on doing small things for others with great love. To attach ourselves to the vine, to abide in Jesus, means that we receive His loving embrace. We cultivate a relationship with Him so that we can learn to be like Him. And as we share a common life, which is His life, we are sent out by Him and with Him into our homes, into our neighborhoods and community and across the nations, showing the world that Jesus is alive and roaring across the nations today, just as He was 2,000 years ago, offering hope and healing to a broken and hurting world. Let us pray. Gracious God, thank You for giving us Your Son, Jesus, to die for our sins and to and to live in a way that we might live. Help us to fix our eyes on Him, to be attached to Him. Whenever we are tempted to look elsewhere, bring us back that we might make Jesus our focal point in life. Through Christ our Lord, we pray.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Chris.